Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are before the blood. Let us pray. Hear, O hear, and answer our prayers. Everybody now. I am praying, blessed Savior, to be more and more like Thee.
I am praying.
That's the purpose of this
prayer.
Savior, for our faith,
oh
Unto you we have come. You know our weaknesses, and this is a period to deal with those weaknesses. Accept us, Papa, this evening in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bride of Christ worldwide are recognizing that without you we can do nothing this year. But we need to be empowered. And that's why we have decided to sacrifice this month to seek your face, Lord. Honor our faith. Answer our prayers. As we begin this empowerment program day number one today, may we truly be empowered, Lord. All that we need, may we truly be empowered, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to your neighbor and just say, be empowered, be empowered, be empowered. Tell everybody around you and sit down. God bless you. Be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. We are all welcome, Bride of Christ, wherever you are around the world. It's a very serious moment. You're welcome. You're welcome. Amen. We also welcome Pastor James. He's not my visitor, so I don't like looking at you as a visitor. Amen. You're welcome. You're welcome. Imagine he came to join us for he wants to be empowered too. Hallelujah. And this is a period where you present yourself truly before God. Balaam had to tell Balak that this God of Israel is not a man that he should lie, like all of us lie. And Apostle Paul also picked that up to tell us, if you will come to God, you must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder. How did he put it? Verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11.
But without faith,
without revelation,
it is impossible to please him.
It is impossible to please God.
For he that cometh to God must believe.
If you are going to come to God, you are not coming to a human being. You are coming to God, you are not coming to your pastor. You can deceive your pastor, you cannot deceive God. You can deceive your husband, but you cannot deceive God. Read it again.
But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That he is a rewarder of them that diligently
seek him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are groups, sometimes when we come like this, maybe a group, and you all agree that you should fast. You see people there. Some members of that same group that they agree, though, they are the ones that you will even shout the louder, amen, amen, to look spiritual before men. But secretly, it's by grace. Hey, it's God we are dealing with. Don't be overtaken by, consumed by the spirit of religion. I don't know if we can pay attention to what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 18. Let's take some of those verses. Maybe from verse 24. Let's take it.
Therefore, the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness.
Listen very well.
Therefore, the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness.
There are recompense, there is the reward. What you get from being sincere with him. See, righteousness is not sinlessness. Righteousness is submission to God. Righteousness is being sincere with God. You have to understand that. So, has the Lord done what? Therefore
the Lord recompensed me.
That is, he has rewarded me according to my sincerity.
According to the cleanness of my eyesight.
Can you see? Now listen. This is how God works with us.
With the merciful, that will show thyself merciful. With an upright man, that will show thyself upright.
That is how God works. Koni, when they follow, they do the koni, they go.
With the pure, that will show thyself pure.
Okay, now.
And with the froward, that will show thyself froward.
You see? With the froward, the koni people, he too will follow you. This is one interesting thing about God. Is there anything God doesn't know? During the vigil, the crossover vigil, I think I made a statement about what the true altar is. I said, where is it? Where is the temple of God? We are the temple of God. Because that's where God dwells. And that is where he places his name there. And that is why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus, because he places his name there. The name of God is in me. That's why they call me Christian. That is, and every temple has an altar. Because, and that is where the seat of God is. Where is the altar of God? And I told you that this is no altar. I've told you. What is this? Oh, clap on yourself. These people, they are good students. Don't mind me. All of us suffer from denominational hangover. A turn and face the altar. Correct me immediately. Say, Pastor, no altar here. It's pulpit, not altar. Oh, then I will apologize. We will get used to it. We will get used to it. Praise the Lord. Where is the altar of God? Now, this is one revelation all of us must catch that will help us to know how to walk with God. Because some people don't remember God. So that they to know how to be careful with God, to worship God until they come to church. After service, they have removed, they are away from the presence of God because they have left the altar behind at the Jesha. Now, till I come back to the altar where I sit down facing the altar, and we even get more confused because immediately you come in, you will see one angel stand here with light. Another one standing here with like, oh, that is the present. Yay! God is here. Immediately you finish, you are going in your house, God is not there. So you bring a prostitute. God is not there. So you enter that beer parlor, God is not there. God is at the Jesha. That is why the altar is decorated. Until nobody should climb. You hear one blind pastor say, woman will come and climb altar. You see him? He has not moved to the New Testament. And he's still in the Old Testament. And he doesn't know that he's not even accepted in the Old Testament because he's a Gentile. We are accepted in the beloved. Oh, glory be to God. Hey, hallelujah. You don't know why God is saying among men born of women, none has been greater than John the Baptist. But the least, do you know you're a carrier of God? Wait. I mean those who have the Holy Ghost. I don't mean church members. I mean those who have the Holy Ghost. And I don't mean those who are anointed. There are people who are anointed with the Holy Ghost but not baptized with the Holy Ghost. We have taught that. And everybody, you know who you are. You are the one who want to talk to. It's ignorance. Stop doing corny like this. There is nothing you do that God doesn't see because he's inside of you. He is there with you while you are doing it. That will help you. So now, watch it now. What the psalmist said. Can we continue to, from verse, where did we read verse 27? From verse 26.
With the pure, that we show thyself pure.
Yes.
And with the froward, that we show thyself froward.
See people who know God, who depend on God. Go ahead.
For thou will save the afflicted people, but will bring down idols.
Again.
For thou will save the afflicted people.
But do what?
But will bring down eye looks.
Uh-huh.
For thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness.
And as mentioned, I remember. Please, I have told you people before, all of you who go to all manner of churches and things like that. There's the one thing that people pray with candle. I don't like it. I'm not comfortable with it. I've told you this thing before. Sele. And many of these so-called babalawos that have become pastors or prophets, you pray with candle. And that is supposed to be light. Eh? I hope you know that the candle will burn finish. That means your life don't burn finish. It's a prophetic action. You know, there are things that are done inspired by the devil that people don't know. You know, when we were unbelievers, we used to go to nightclub. Abi Gabriel? No, he didn't go to nightclub. Chocho? He's not here today. Anytime I'm coming to preach, some people run away from the pulpit. I don't know. But I'll still call your name. Listen very well. I trust my cameraman. This Satan, you know, if you go to a nightclub, I don't know how it is now, it will be worse now because the technology is, you know, increasing. There's one type of light that we used to have. If you are gathering, you are dancing, it's a kind of light that they will put it on at the stage. I'm standing like this. I'll just be seeing you like skeleton. You know, I'll just be seeing you like skeleton. The thing, I won't, you know, are you a human being? Are you this? You're just seeing something moving. Then the devil will be singing, my members are many. Come and join us here. My members are many. Who knows that song? One woman from South Africa sang it. Eh? That light was invented the same period Michael Jackson brought out one song. I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. Then the light, immediately they say, I'm bad. Then that light will come on. I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm bad. You are bad. Satan is telling you, this is how you will look like in hell. Come and join us here in hell. So that evil Satan preaches the gospel. These agents of Satan, they are coming to tell you, see where you're finishing your life. Like candle. And finish your life. Finish your life. Then you will think there is something spiritual. I don't know which scripture they normally quote to support it. Maybe not this one. Thou will light my candle. Read it.
Verse 28. For thou will light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness.
Go ahead.
Verse 29. For by thee I have run through a troop.
By thee. This year you will run through a troop only by God himself.
Amen. Uh-huh. And by my God have I leaped over a wall.
Can you see? Uh-huh.
As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him.
Uh-huh.
For who is God, save the Lord? Or who is a rock, save our God? It is God that girded me with strength.
Who?
It is God that girded me with strength.
Empowerment month. Who is he that will give us strength?
God.
Uh-huh.
And maketh my way perfect.
Okay.
He maketh my feet like iron's feet and setteth me upon my high places.
Uh-huh.
He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms.
Uh-huh.
Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation,
uh-huh,
and thy right hand hath holding me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great.
Uh-huh.
Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, mm-hmm, that my feet did not slip.
Hallelujah. It's okay. You see, these are people who have met with God, and this is his testimony. But he is also aware, it's as you present yourself before God, that is how he will walk with you. I say we should fast now. Some people will not fast. And don't let anybody discourage you from fasting. You and you alone with God this period. Yes. Because there are some people that, you know, Deacon Anayo's wife, you are calling me now. That is evidence that you are not part of this empowerment week. Because any member of this church that is calling me now, you know fast today. If they call, and no answer you. You know, go begin think. Why no answer you? Anybody with them under your compound, go and tell the wife, you say, man, stop disturbing me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anybody here who didn't fast today? Maybe you forgot. So that your sins can be pardoned. Shamelessly stand up. Which brother be that? You wave your hand now. You didn't fast today. Eh? Why didn't you fast? It's very honored. There are some way go sit down, no matter how you talk, you go say, what do you concern you? Me and God. Why? Why?
I did not know.
Eh?
I did not know.
Hey. You did not know that we are fasting. Then why you come here now? Who brought you?
Sister Pistlia.
You just said you should follow me and come. Now the picking. Why you go tell somebody to follow you, come and break fast when you know breakfast, when you know fast? Want to shorten our wine? That's not good now. Want to shorten our wine and our bread? Okay, sit down. We fast every day, you hear? But it's funny. Why will you tell somebody follow us to go and break our fast? And you don't know whether the person fasted or not. Don't be consumed by spirit of religion. January is the beginning of a long journey into 12 months. 365 days. Battle that will last 365 days. We need to equip ourselves for the year. The journey is long. What did he say, 1 Kings chapter 19, to Elijah, the angel that brought the heavenly food?
1 Kings chapter 19,
Maybe from verse what? From verse 5?
Verse 5. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again.
Mm-hmm.
And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee.
That is exactly the verse I'm looking for. And the next verse, what did he say?
And he arose and did eat and drink.
And did what?
And did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of
God. Our own will be, we will go in the strength of this meat for 365 days. And the food that he ate came from heaven. Hallelujah. And that second meal that came from heaven is another meal that is before us now. That's what we'll be eating every day for the next 30 days. And remember that on Friday we eat it in the vigil. So we don't come here at 5 o'clock. Break your fast at home. Then, but we'll still take communion on Friday night. Till the month is over. Remember, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, as the purpose why we are fasting, the purpose why we're in this empowerment period, listen very well.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice.
You have to present yourself before the Lord a living sacrifice, that is, totally surrender yourself to him. Totally surrender yourself to his will. Thy will be done. Sacrifice here, living sacrifice here, is the life that you live every day. God first. That is the meaning. God first. God-centered life. A God-centered life. For anyone that will receive empowerment to face the battle that we have, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, Satan knows it, that very soon we shall disappear from this world. He is there to make things tougher and tougher and tougher for us. But our God is greater than him. The gates of hell shall not prevail. But he has what he does to enable the gates of hell not to prevail. He admonishes us with his word. What you have to do is live a God-centered life. God-first life. Whatever you want to do, if it goes contrary to the word of God, contrary to the will of God, sacrifice your own will and submit to the will of God. That is what that scripture is saying. A living sacrifice.
Holy.
Holy.
Acceptable.
Do you know the meaning of holiness? Holiness is being set apart for God. We are holy because we have separated ourselves from the world. That's the meaning of holiness. Setting yourself apart from God. It's a lifestyle that says, I am in the world, but not of the world. That's why we are odd. Please listen to my admonishment. Go ahead.
Holy, acceptable unto God, which is the reasonable service.
That is, what is the acceptable service?
And be not conformed to this world.
You see, but what?
But be ye transformed.
Transfer is to move from one place to another. Move from the world to Christ. That is what holiness is all about. By doing what?
By the renewing of your mind.
By doing what?
By the renewing of your mind. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. To renew your mind. Amen. Because that is the center of our life. That is the altar of this temple. That is where the greatest battle of life is ever fought. The battle to agree to do it or refuse to do it. The battle to obey or to disobey. The battle to accept or to reject is in the mind. God is looking for your heart to take control. Satan is also looking for your heart to take control. And remember, it's not that he's looking for it. Satan has always been in control until Christ came. Every human being, every one of us, we were under the control of Satan until we met with Christ. However, after meeting with Christ, we still find ourselves. Amen. We still find ourselves still entangled in our mind with some of the things that kept us away from God, that mercy has come to deal with. And that is what Apostle Paul was also referring to in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
yes,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
And speaking there of besetting sin, lay aside the besetting sin, besetting sin. A besetting sin is an English word to beset. It's a sin that is persistent, constantly in evidence, or a sin that is deeply rooted. It is a besetting sin. It is a sin that you wrestle with most often. It's the besetting sin. You wrestle with it. Another word for it is a habitual sin. Sin that has become your habit. Sin that has now defined your character, your identity. Like a Syrian general, what's his name? Naaman. He is this, he's wonderful, he is this, he's that, he's this. But. Hallelujah. But the sin that has become your identification, anybody that comes close to you, the reference they will give concerning you is that sin they tag you with. It's a besetting sin. It's a habitual sin. And we wrestle with it. Because the truth about it is it disturbs the flow of fellowship with God. And you must deal with it. That is what the Holy Ghost is given. That is what it's given for. It's to help us deal with this. It is a pattern of God. After they moved to the promised land, God promised them the land, but he said, instead of you to wipe away all the Midianites, what did he say? He said, you'll be dealing with them small. Why not just wipe them away? No, he said, you will remove them one by one. However, you'll be facing them because they are your enemies. You'll be battling with them or you'll be fighting them. Therefore, be empowered. He will fight for you, but he left them there for you to learn how to fight. He left them there for you to identify your enemy. He left them there so that you will watch and be prayerful. He left them there so that you will be humbled. So that those of us who judge people, provost, before you pass your sentence, he said, you too, the Bible says, you too, you'll be judged, or you will be judged. Amen. Before you pass sentence, he said, consider yourself too. Because he would think he stand. Hallelujah. So, amen. You know how man is. When I was in secondary school, it was a military school, and I was the provost marshal. Anybody that was caught, you know, in any offense, they bring the person to me. I'm the one that would deal. Even when the officers catch them, they would still bring them to me. Then I'm supposed to give the punishment. Now, one offense that can dismiss you from the school is smoking cigarette. And me too, I smoke cigarette. So when they catch somebody with cigarette, they will bring them to me so that I will take them to the authority. They will dismiss you. But here am I, me too, I smoke. So I will look at the person. And that was it. Imagine how young I was then, but at least I had conscience enough. I said, look, I'm going to punish you. And I always punish them. Nobody goes free if you come my way. I'm going to punish you, not because you smoke, but because you allow them to catch you. But you must face the punishment. I think it's fair. I was fair. Got me to the smoke. Nobody caught me. Idiot, you went to smoke, now they caught you. So you face the punishment because you allow yourself to be caught. Because there's no punishment that will stop anybody from smoking. Unless God himself decides to deal with it. Praise the Lord. But this one now, if you don't deal with it, Satan will deal with you. Once you are cut off from God, you are finished. You are cut off from your source of your strength. You are cut off from the source of your life. And nobody is so special that God will overlook your sin and continue to bless you. No child of God prospers in sin. None. None. Listen to my admonishment. It's important that you deal with this deep-rooted sin that even after you are converted, is still showing itself. And I always don't like mentioning, listing sin. Sin is sin. Because somebody will say, you didn't mention my own, so no big problem. Sin is sin. Apart from the one that you know, that I don't know, and that I will not mention, it is also including this one, gossiping. Did you hear my English? I have roped the one that I will not mention inside. In case there is one way they do where I don't know. That one too, God knows. But this besetting sin also include gossiping, lying, unnecessary loss of temper. Smarty. Lost. Pride. And some people are really, really, really honest. Very, very honest with themselves. You know, a married woman has come to me to confess. He said, I suffer from lust. I said, but you are married now. He said, yeah, that's why she's worried. Laziness, pride, skepticism. Very skeptical. There is this procrastination is a sin. Why I say it's a sin is that what should be done now, do it now, you will postpone it. That's procrastination. It's a spirit of laziness that has so engulfed you and then taking you to a higher level. Goes beyond laziness, a high level of laziness. That is why you postpone your prayer time. And even when the time comes, prayer time don't go now. but you postpone it. You have something, you know, somebody is asking for the thing. You say, see me later. It's there in your pocket, too. See me later. You know, a lot of people suffer that thing. I say, see me after now. But see it on top of the table now. Give me now. See? Some of us who employ staff, personal staff, end of the month, don't come. Pay your staff now. Pay your husband now. Pay your house girl now. The money is there. And I go pay him tomorrow. I go pay him next tomorrow. The money is there. And I say, I go pay. Now, what will happen? And you think that is normal. Has become sin. Do you know why? It's because of that money that person is working on. And that person get planned for that money. And maybe mama sick, he wants to send that money for treatment. You want them to remind you. Even if you remind you, say, hey, have I forgotten? Did I say I forgot? Pay him money now. The spirit of procrastination that has gone to that level. I just use that. It includes stubbornness. There are people that are naturally stubborn. You know what is stubbornness? Refusing to change. Refusing to bow. Refusing to take heed, to take advice. That is, you are set on what you want to do, good or bad. I will do it. I don't care. I think that is it. I don't care spirit. I don't care. But when the thing hit you, you're going to cry. Yet you say you don't care. Why they cry? It's a spirit that you must deal with. But one of the things that disturb us, we're talking of empowerment the most, is the one that even affects the mouth that we shall use to pray. Gossiping and lying. Gossiping and lies is a serious problem in the Christian faith. When you do that, you lose your own virtue. You become a toothless bulldog because that mouth is supposed to be consecrated to be used at the right time, used properly. You defile your mouth when you gossip. You know, there are people that have this spirit of pulling down others. You enjoy talking about others negatively, not positive. If we talk about anybody at all, talk about something that you admire and you desire. Stop talking about Christians. Stop. I know what I'm talking about. I'm a pastor. And God gives me revelations. And God lets me know certain things. And it is one spirit we have been fighting in this church. Unfortunately, it's a very, very tough spirit. Because when they are gossiping, it's a secret thing done between two people. And the only way we get to know is if one betrays the other and go to say, Nasoso person tells me. That is how we know. And even if it's just one statement made, the thing that comes to me, why will you do that? What have I got to gain by talking evil of my brother, of my sister? What have I got to gain? What has added to me by doing that? Why? I will sit down. Me and Pastor Olumide, Pastor, we are pastors. Because everybody now knows that Olumide is now more revelated than me. Then I'm sitting down here, wait, oh. People are looking too much now on Olumide. Then I will go to key people in the church and begin to finish Olumide. Finish Olumide. Don't mind them. Don't. If not for me, do you think this church will know anything? I don't want to say something so that some people will not switch off that now them are they talk about, although now you are they talk about. It pains me that throughout last year, from January to December, you know, that we were here every time. When you hear something, like say, in the church, we are supposed to lift up each other, not to pull down anybody. And why I say that this is a strange fire in our midst is because you all know that, see, the spirit of the pastor also affects the members. If the pastor is a fornicator, that will be the spirit that everybody will be drinking in the church. This pastor here, you know, his greatest joy, his ministry is lifting up people. You know. That is why it's very easy to know people who pull down that is not part of us. Not part of us. Another one is witch. Witchcraft. There are witches that go to church. If I quarrel with you, you are finished. They go and recruit people to join them to fight you. I mean, recruit other witches. You will not be part of the blessing that is coming to this ministry. If I am your pastor, I am telling you something now. Take heed or you will face frustration. Because I'm here to direct you. Both in the life I live, who among you here will tell me, all of you sitting down, all of you from 26 years of this church, let any girl come before me, stand before, secretly, tell you secretly that I've slept with her. 26 years of this church. Okay. Anybody that comes to you, what is a testimony they will leave when they meet with you? Pastor, does it mean you are not tempted? Womanizer like me, I don't know how to run away from a woman. I don't know a woman that is coming after you. They've tried it. They tried several times. Several times. When I'm relating with a woman and you want to pass your boundary, I know it. We are not supposed to tempt Satan. And it's not for me to call you and say, you want to tempt me? Eh? Why are you coming? Are you lusting after me? It's a lie. You should know how to escape. So why are you not? Why? Tell me anybody that has associated with me that has regretted it for the past 26 years. Forget those small fight. There are small fight that I say leave this church. Many of you don't know that even after leaving, I still take care of them. Many people don't know. After I drive them from this church, they send me again, go, they cry, say, go suffer. Then I will see me taking care of everybody. I say, if it bring her here, a little leaven in the whole lump. People don't know. Don't know this man standing here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I repeat, all of them, mention any of them that left here. They have problem. They call me. Before they finish, I don't wire the money to them. Why are you not imbibing this sense? Is it the same Holy Ghost we have? Why will you want to to destroy somebody's image behind him, behind her. When we are here in the business of packaging each other. If I kill you, I can't take your position. I can't inherit you. So why am I doing it? It's like a revelation. How are you to deal with it? See, by the renewing of the mind. Because that is where every problem emanates from. Your strength and your weaknesses come from your heart. Look, Christians, we have enough trouble carrying the cross. Don't add any more problem upon yourself. Shut them off. Shut them off. And the only way, praise the Lord. The first way to deal with it is to recognize and admit that you have this problem. If you don't believe you are sick, you will never go to the hospital. You must first accept that you are sick. I have this problem. I have this problem. That's one of the reasons some people don't have friends. And they want to spiritualize it. So I like to be on my own. I just like to be on my own. Anybody, people have disappointed me so much. Anybody I come close to, they will end up hitting me. Anywhere I go, they will end up. So I decided to just be on my own. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Oh, if that is your testimony, if that is why you are living, you are staying alone. The truth about it is, you have injured too many people. So there is nobody that comes around you and stays for long. There's something that attracts somebody to you. Listen very well. There is always something that attracts somebody to you. When that person comes there, if he doesn't see that thing, he will leave you. Because he came looking for something. If it's a woman, I want to sleep with you. If you don't fit, get you to open leg for her, for him, he will go back. And when he goes back, that is when he may be speaking bad of you. But the truth about it is, I've told you sisters, those of us who were in the world before, any woman we try to sleep with, he refuses. We do everything, he refuses. We have the greatest respect for them. The one when we say, come now, how now? He will say, before you talk, finish. Immediately visit you in a bed, they go lie down. That one will not get respect for them. Oh, nobody they even tell them, I go marry you. Who go marry this kind of one? Every room you enter, you see bed, you go lie down. Who go marry that kind of one? Praise the Lord. Some people don't like my mouth. I will say it. So that you will judge yourself what I'm saying. But what I'm saying, look, I may say it anyhow, maybe rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Listen to what I'm saying, not how I am saying it. Because I want to say it in a way go enter you where. I don't know how else to say it. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher. Repent or perish. That's all we know. Don't know any other way. No other way. Repent or you suffer this year. Change or you face frustration this year. Why you wear? Take a look now. 31st is a day that every Christian will normally you take a retreat and say, come, how last year be now? All this way they do. Where you reach now? Then you now repent. It is then God can help you because you have made a good decision. Check those things. Remove hatred. All this one, they do pride. There are some of us that hate pride. God himself hates pride. People who are proud, people who have money are very humble, very, very humble. I have far cause to meet with, Dangote. I even shook hands with him, and I tried to look at him up, down, the wristwatch, the ordinary wristwatch. I don't know whether he wears wristwatch, Steph. This kind of senator, the senator something. The way I look at it, they don't iron and tire. No, but that's the truth. What's the ordinary issue? Peter Obi has two pairs of shoes. I've been at one, sir. He asked, he said, why do you have many of them? Eh? He has two. He said it now. No, but I reason with him, but that is the truth. You know. But that is the truth. You know, I travel. You know, when I travel, I discover that it's the same shoe where we are go. Now we are come. So I go, so when I come, I see plenty of shoe. I say, see this one now, 1 year I never wear it. So which one be all this one? Where would they put a shoe? That doesn't mean if you want to give me a better shoe. Give me a Otedola said, they asked him, why you don't wear his watch? He said, because his phone has a watch. Is it not to look time? He said it. People who are rich, you know, well, just go this Bender supermarket, this cloth where they shine, the way you wear and finish. Meanwhile, now, 2000 era. Pride. It's not easy to please people who are proud because everything you give them, they are never appreciative. Not only this, now silver, gold on no day. You give by this one, I don't like red color. So if you to start with thank you. The first thing is, I don't like red color. There's something I observe with all of us. Anybody you give a gift and it demonstrate appreciation. You know, you love to give more to the person. And now don't come and start acting and demonstrating and acting. There are actors. Hey, daddy, hey. See, daddy, say if you appreciate, we'll give you more. It is with God I'm talking about. Only you see human beings as an example. It's with God. When you show appreciation, he does more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So admit it. Admit that you have this problem. Admit that you lie. And it's very easy to know you are possessed with a lying spirit. Even when you are not supposed to lie, you will lie. A lying life excites you. Even when there should be no lie, you will cook a lying story and tell. It's a serious demon. I've come across such people that will just lie. They live by lying. And the truth about it is people who come close to you will soon find out that you lie a lot. And that become your identity. So when you're telling them anything, 50% is written off. So they are now wondering whether this one too now lie, I've been a true now. You don't know. So nobody trusts whatever you tell them. You lie so tell even when you are sick and you say you are sick. Somebody will say, I don't know whether true is sick or not lie. You didn't lie. My daughter is sick. You will just say, I don't know whether I didn't come to church because my daughter is sick. You don't know whether not true. Or na in sleep off, they using daughter lie. You know. No, it affects you. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, how to deal with this besetting sin. Verse 7 and verse 8, what did he say?
Submit yourselves therefore to God.
You see, and when you submit, there are two things there. There are two things there. The second one is what?
Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
The first one you have to do what?
Submit yourselves therefore to
God. What is it to submit yourself? We are called unto sanctification of the Spirit. We are called through the washing of the water by the word. That is what we are washed with. We are cleaned with the word. To submit yourself unto God is to allow the word of God to clean you up. And when you do that, Satan will still want to come and deal with you. Then you resist him. And when you resist him, what will happen?
He will flee from you.
He will flee. How do you resist him? So many ways of resisting him. The only reason you resist somebody is such, why will a woman resist a man that wants to sleep with her? It's because she knows that if you sleep with me, you can pass a seed on unwanted pregnancy. And secondly, you may contact an infection. When God is saying stop fornication, people are thinking God is saying stop enjoyment. It's because he knows through that you contact problems. Every sin, every commandment of God has a reason for your own good. When he said defile, don't defile, don't defile. What is the meaning of defile? He's talking about uncleanness. Don't do that. So with that knowledge, like in those days in Egypt, in Israel, the reason that the young girl will not commit fornication is because you know the day you will marry, there will be the token of virginity. If you marry, you are not a virgin, you are finished. So because of that, and the reason that that law was given is so that you have pure seeds. You see? So submit yourself to God. He will clean you up. He will arm you up with his word. And then you'll be able to resist the devil. You will resist him. Another way is, of course, of resisting him, of Satan. Resisting this besetting sin, is to change the habit that facilitates that sin. Change the habit that facilitates that sin. If your weakness is lost, there is always something that ignites it. There's always something that will ignite it. You're either watching some naked woman, pornography, or you are listening to a man for a married woman to suffer lust, battle with lust. One of it is your colleague in the office, those men you talk to, when they switch language and begin to talk in a way to seduce you. There is a language for seducing women and for women seducing men too. There's a language. When it's going that way, you should be sensitive enough to rebuke him. God, stop that. But you allow him, he will start small, small. You allow him, small, start small, small. I'm talking even members of the church. Christians. I'm not talking about unbelievers. Within the church. Be careful how close you get to the opposite sex. Including the lesbians and the gay that go to church. They know what to do to test to see whether you agree or not. They know what to say to see whether your reaction. They must test the water, test the wine, see. And I've said it. Amen. Why will a brother invite you to his house, single sister, and tell you, come alone? What other signal are you looking for? So you two answer, come and say, hey, I will come with sister this, sister this, sister this. If you say, for what? Then, do you need any further something? Or do you want to talk again? Change the habit. You know. What should I do? Thank you. Like me and you now, but your own was more than my own. How you used to drink beer before? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then they go meet your friend for beer parlor. Then they sit down. Then they drink. They will start by preaching to you. There's nothing in the Bible that forbids alcohol. They only say drink and don't get drunk. Why are you going there at all? If you test it, you know you caused it. You facilitated it by going there. You facilitated that man sleeping with you by going to his house. You facilitated whatever it is, the condition, you rebooted your mind by the pornography you were watching. Flee fornication. Joseph had to run through the window. One of my unbeliever friends said, don't mind Joseph, free food, he ran away. And I said, if he had choppy, he would have remained a slave there forever. Servicing the woman, servicing the woman, servicing the woman. But he ran away. And when he ran away from fornication, he ran into what looked like a prison. But that was where God was to come and meet him. Flee that nonsense. Praise the Lord. Maybe you will understand Matthew 5 now. Verse 27. Maybe you will understand it now.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of
listen God, very well.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
That is the law, but listen.
But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her,
where?
Hath committed adultery with her already in his
heart. In your heart. So that's why I say renewing of the mind. So it is from the heart already. Now, then he went further. Now listen.
If your right hand offend
thee. He said, if your right hand offend thee, now understand it now, that scripture, in case you have not understood it. What should you do?
Pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell.
Verse 30.
And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into
And I believe that that is the understanding of Joseph. If walking with you disturbs my spiritual life, cut it off. I better remain single, remain alone, walk alone, and make my destination than to keep you and end up destroying my life. That is the meaning of that. Anything that will disturb you, cut it off. Cut off that relationship. Cut off that habit. Carry your... You're hearing me? Cut it off. When I told one brother that told me, he's in the church here, he said that the only problem that was battling with, the only thing he suffered is this fornication issue. In his life, he never drank. He didn't do anything. If he doesn't lie, he doesn't steal, he doesn't do this. But he suffers lust. When you see woman lost, I said the solution is in the Bible. Cut it off. He said, I said, then you are not serious. I said, cut it off. Anything. Pastor Olu, you said one time you cut off Facebook. That is what the scripture is saying. Cut off Facebook when you notice that he was taking too much of his time. So you now ask, the time that he was using for Facebook is what he was using to read the Bible. See the effect. See the effect. Cut it off. Short. Some of you have four lines. Four. Don't go tell that one line you get. Four. Cosmos Maduka has two lines, private and his business line. sitting down here now, have you pointed yourself? Well, I will put my phone on, because each time they call me with a line where I no get, I will store it. If I put one on now, go see, I have to put a Kene 1, a Kene 2, a Kene 3, a Kene 4, a Kene 5. One person. And each of them get a Telegram and WhatsApp, each of them, apart from Facebook. And you will look through all this. How will you be spiritual? What time do you have for the things of God? Cut it off. Your life will improve. This thing called social media came with an agenda. And foolish Christians are not catching it to resist it. You know now, it has become an addiction. Some of us are addicted. Some of you, not us. Some of you are addicted to it. Addicted to Facebook, I don't get. No, no, it didn't. Get one time, I was trying to get an information. They say I can only get it on Telegram. I come enter Telegram to. I didn't know, say Telegram. I say once you enter, everybody, go announce to everybody. Come and see. Daddy, you're welcome. Daddy, you're welcome. Daddy, you're welcome. I say, waiting. Immediately, I finish. I deleted the nonsense to come out. I say, what is this? Immediately, I came out of it. Praise the Lord. It is affecting you and you don't know it. Resist him and he will flee. I never finish. We're going to continue. Because some people are hungry. No, they answer me again. Can we stand up?